Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, you'll never guess what I saw this weekend.
Jackass?
Yes, dude.
I know.
Jackass 3D. It's almost like we talked about it earlier.
Amazing. It's almost as if we did that.
Dude, I saw Jackass 3D and it did not disappoint.
It was
disgusting.
Yes.
Yeah. There were many elements of this film that were disturbing, some of which I can't even discuss on this family podcast. Dude, I had to remove my 3D glasses twice and close my eyes. And this is the best part. Do you know who I saw it with?
Your mom.
Dude, that's ridiculous.
Sorry.
I saw it with my dad. I really did see it with my dad. We've seen all the Jackass movies together, actually.
Did Big C also have to close his eyes?
No. This is the best part. I took my glasses off at one point and my dad says, "Come on."
Your dad is giving
goes,
you crap.
Come on. Come on, Doug.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I tried to man up and put the glasses back on. Couldn't do it, dude. There are many disgusting stunts in Jackass 3D, but the most disgusting one, dude, was when they didn't get any points on their first homestand.
Yeah.
That was the most appalling.
Yeah. Yeah. I also saw a very disturbing movie. I saw Waiting for Superman.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was a laugh riot, for those of you who know what that is. Let's just leave it there.
Is it sort of like the NHL lottery?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, except more depressing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, what a ringing endorsement for that film, dude.
Speaking of depressing, actually, it's a good movie. You should see it. But
speaking of
depressing,
we just endured a very long and painful evening of San Jose Sharks hockey. If you want to call it that tonight, dude, a 5-2 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah. So they've now faced 3 non-playoff teams in 4 games and have lost 3 of those games. They've only got 1 win in the first 4 games.
3 points out of what I think I was expecting to have 7 points at this junction, dude.
Yeah. So didn't quite work out that way. Sharks lost. Well, I was hoping that maybe the Sharks have gone a long time without losing their first 2 games, but actually it was like 07-08 or 06-07 they lost the first 2 home games of the season. So it's not we're not in historical territory yet, but certainly not a lot to be excited about from this Sharks team. Certainly I didn't see anything too amazing in the home opener versus Atlanta. They go up 2-0, a little exciting, and then they manage to give up 4 unanswered goals against and lose going away 4-2. So
not very good.
Yeah. Not very good. Very good then. Not very good tonight.
If we look at the Atlanta game, let's try and separate the two terrible events.
Right. All right.
So if we're looking at the Atlanta game, there were some players who stood out Saturday that didn't stand out for me tonight. Mm-hmm, like I certainly noticed Torrey Mitchell on Saturday a lot more than I noticed him tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I really have been enjoying watching him drive the net like he did in Columbus. He looked dangerous in that game. He seemed to really be involved. And I even questioned, I talked about this before the game tonight, and I believe without looking at the numbers that he did not get any power play again tonight. No time on the power play.
I certainly don't remember him on the power play.
I'm a little confused by that because out of the first 4 games, I think Mitchell has been one of the most consistent Sharks in terms of, you know, gosh, at the beginning of this game tonight, we were really getting irritated with the Sharks. And we've seen this before. But they're just strictly on the perimeter. No one driving the net. It's so easy for an elite goalie like Cam Ward, who played. He made some big saves tonight.
Huge.
And you got to drive the net. We finally saw that when Marlowe drove the net and scored that second goal.
Right.
Torrey Mitchell also driving the net. Joe Pavelski, we saw him drive the net a little bit tonight. But everybody else seems to be very perimeter oriented. Mitchell stood out for me Saturday, dude. But anything else positive you can take away from Saturday?
Yeah, we're starting to see Nicholas Wallin healthy and...
hamburgers.
You know, I think... I'm not saying he's worth $2.5 million in a no-trade clause. Let's not go there yet. But tonight, I believe he was the second-best defenseman, probably on the ice. I mean, actually, you might say he was the best because Boyle made a couple of terrible mistakes.
Boyle, his goal aside... These first two home games, not good.
Well, he didn't even get the goal. It was Marleau's goal.
Right. I mean, even on Saturday, you know, when Little scored, I mean, Boyle was on the receiving end of two shorthanded goals. They were both his fault.
That's right.
On Saturday, it was his fault. You know, he pinched too much towards Ladd. Boyle's not paying attention. Mm-hmm. Little goes by him, scores.
Right.
Tonight, we saw a very similar play. This was more of a little bit of an unlucky bounce, but. Yeah. Boyle again victimized, and then he almost got victimized again.
And the same kill.
In the same power play situation.
Only seconds later, and he ended up taking a penalty then.
So Dan Boyle definitely struggling. I would agree, dude. I think Wallin might have been the best defenseman tonight. The other player who stood out to me, I liked most of what I saw from Jason Demers tonight.
Yeah, yeah. He's looking good. He's looking better. You know, we keep hope that he's coming along.
Well, I think he's definitely coming along on one end of the rink. You know, he looks dangerous when the Sharks have it on the attack. He's
hit the post on a nice little backhand dragon shot, which is a really tough move to do if you've ever played hockey. I've spent I've certainly had multiple sessions where I've tried working on that move. It ain't easy if you're ever a defenseman to do that dragon shoot, and he did it under pressure and hit the post. It was a great shot. So kid's got skills, no question, but I'm still not certain where he sits on the defensive side of the puck. He still has to improve in that area. So
I'm willing to, you know, I think we're both willing to give him the benefit of the doubt here.
Yeah.
Like he needs to continue to play.
Right. Absolutely.
I'd be okay with seeing him make some mistakes here early in the season, because I think it will pay dividends later on in April and May. If you've got him out there in important situations, yeah, you can shield him to some extent.
Right.
I know he played over 20 minutes tonight. I wonder how much of that was on the power play.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and the guy who's making a lot of mistakes that shouldn't be making mistakes and hasn't been known to do that is Marc-Edouard Vlasic. We were walking away from the tank tonight, and you say to me, is Vlasic on the clock at this point? And tell me what you meant by that.
Well, I mean, you know, I think the clock was ticking on Erhoff 2 years ago, and Doug Wilson had to make the decision before. His value was nothing, which I think it was almost nothing when he traded him basically for nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know, which it might end up being a second round pick because the Sharks probably have no intention of signing Patrick White. So end up being a second round pick. You trade a guy now who is, I don't know where he ranks now, but last year he had an outstanding season, one of the top 20 defensemen in the NHL, and you traded a second round pick for him. You know, did the Sharks trade the wrong guy, dude?
Maybe.
I mean, maybe. As much as we jumped all over him for being Erhoff, and sometimes guys need a change of scenery, you know, has Vlasic come close, not yet, but come close to running his course here?
Well, you know, we're four games into the season. It's too early to say.
I know, but this has been a topic from last year and the year before. And the other thing I said was, can you, you know, we talked about how in a perfect world, Vlasic would be like the Scott Hannon of several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to go talk to a fan of another team, like a Carolina Hurricanes fan,
right,
and you ask them to describe Marc-Edouard Vlasic, would they even be able to tell you who he is?
I mean, they might be able to recognize the name if they're a hockey fan. I mean, I would probably recognize the name of basically every starting defenseman in the NHL.
Right, but could they name for you a reason why he should be making $3 million?
Probably not.
Right.
Yeah, tell me all about Mike Lundin, dude. Go ahead.
I can't, but I believe Mike Lundin is making about a sixth of what Marc-Edouard Vlasic is.
You're probably
right. There's a difference between our friends like Brett Feasterling and Brendan Mickelson and Mike Lundin and a guy like Vlasic who is making the type of money that he should be an impact player on this team. and he's having an impact, all right.
Yeah,
but it's not in the in the positive. Dude, I know it's super early, but I'm just not really seeing the type of growth from him where we're looking for him to fill a big role this year. And
we're waiting.
Where's the beef, baby?
Yeah, I mean, he's getting outplayed by Vallin. There's no question in my mind.
Right.
It's him and Vallin on that line, and Vallin is playing better. Vallin like went coast to coast, like tried to go coast to coast twice tonight.
He did at the end.
I don't know if he was just you know, trying to stick it to his old team or show him a little something and, you know, make a move around one of his old buddies or something, but I mean, Vlasic wasn't even close to doing something like that. And Vallin is, he's, now that he's getting healthy, he's quick. He is not slow, Vallin. He can move, and he makes good decisions with the puck. I mean, this is a guy that I'm glad we're starting to see what I think Doug Wilson saw in him or knew him to be when he signed him to this contract that we still don't like, but I think we're starting to get the idea of, okay, this is what Vallin is. I mean, he's a steady presence. There's no question about it.
Sure.
So we got problems with D. There's no question.
One more thing on Vlasic. Okay. Okay. I am concerned about Douglas Murray on the power play.
Yeah, yeah.
And even more concerned that Vlasic has fallen that far off the map.
Right.
For Todd McLellan to not get that power play time.
Yeah. Vlasic played the same, basically exactly the same amount of time as Vallin. You know, they basically were out there together the entire time. But Jason Demers played 20 minutes, probably played a lot more power play time. Douglas Murray, 15:57, even less than Vallin and Vlasic.
He had some bad shifts tonight, too.
Well, that one goal by Corey LaRose, basically Stahl just completely juked him out of his shorts, picked his pocket, turned around, it was 2-on-1 down low, and that takes us to the second topic of the night, which is Antti Niemi. Wow. I mean, there was quite a contrast between the way Antti Niemi played and the way Cam Ward played.
Yeah, it's first of all, Niemi was in the zone, the twilight zone.
Yeah.
All right.
The crap zone.
Dude looked lost at times out there.
Yeah.
And I've seen some fat rebounds in the many years of watching Sharks hockey, and boy, he serves up a juicy steak.
Yes, like, he certainly does.
So many times tonight. Like
four or five times the puck just sits 5 feet out of the crease, just sitting there in the center of the ice. I mean, that if you're a goalie, that's the last place you want to put the puck, and it sat there a number of times. And at least, you know, I mean, some of those goals, I'm listening to the post game on the way home, and Jamie Baker says, you know, I can't blame Niemi for these goals because they're all 2-on-1s and things like that. And to a certain extent, that's true. But especially on that goal I just mentioned where Stahl just completely picks Murray's pocket and feeds it to Corey LaRose, who scores. It looked from where I was sitting that Niemi had no idea that Corey LaRose was there.
This is the last goal.
Yeah, I think it's the last goal.
Right.
Well, no, it wasn't the last goal because...
Well, it was okay. It was one of the jumble of bad goals.
One of the many bad goals.
Right.
Maybe it wasn't Corey LaRose that scored this particular goal that I'm thinking of. But anyway, it looked as if, you know, it was a 2-on-1 down low, and the guy with the puck was driving the center of the ice, which is exactly what you're supposed to do. And he passed it across, perfect pass. And Niemi, it seemed like Niemi had no idea that guy was there. And we saw two plays that were almost identical at the other end of the ice. Joe Thornton dishing the puck to Devin Setoguchi both times. And the instant the puck left Joe's stick, Cam Ward makes a perfect push across and blocks the shot, which would have been just a tap-in goal twice. And I think he got one from Marlowe as well. So he made like three of those. Niemi could have made, you know, he had at least two chances to make the same play and was beaten badly on both. Like nowhere near the tap-in goal. And it just seemed like he didn't have that awareness. I mean, understand you got to take the shooter, you got to be square to the shooter, but you have to at least know that the other guy's there in your peripheral vision. So when that pass comes, you got to expect that pass, and you know where that pass is going because you know where the other guy is. And he wasn't on it at all. And a couple times, he just looked so far out of position. It was terrible.
I was just, thank you to NHL Game Center here. You can watch the highlights goals here.
Mm.
Two of the five goals tonight were breakaways. Three of them weren't.
Uh-huh.
One was a slap shot from Pipkinen.
Yeah.
And two of the others were, you know, 5-on-5, you know, even strength situations here. So I blame Niemi for three of the five. not being able to make that big save, like you said, dude. Like, Ward made several tonight, and Niemi, I think we counted one.
And but it was with 8 minutes left in the third, and the game was out of hand.
Yeah, it was too late. And
needless to say, I would bet a good amount of money that Nidamaki is going to be starting the next game. Let's put it that way.
I guess I'm honestly, I was surprised that he didn't play tonight. Not that he had a great debut against Columbus, but I really thought this was going to be a Nabi Toskola situation where they were going to, you know, keep flip-flopping until someone, you know, emerges as the clear-cut, undisputed number one.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's looking like a race to the bottom at this point. Yeah.
So I don't know, dude. I think you're right. Nidamaki is definitely going to be in net on Thursday in Colorado, where he's going to be thrown to the wolves.
Right.
Because if I was in Vegas, I would bet all the money in your pocket, dude, that the Avalanche are going to murder us on Thursday. I think they're just going to be all over us because of, you know, they'll certainly remember the playoff series. And they're playing well right now. Yeah. They're scoring goals. They look alive, and we look like we've got floaties in the shallow end of the pool.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah. Well, I guess one bright spot of the week is the fact that Joe Thornton signed an extension. He's going to be with the Sharks for another 3 years. That's $21 million extension. He actually took a pay cut from his current salary, which I believe is $7.2 million. So he's on the hook not only for this season, but three more seasons after this one. Dude, how do you rate this signing? How do you like this move by Sharks management?
Well, I think based on Joe's -6 to start the season, it's a great move. And that's not a joke, by the way. Joe Thornton is a -6 in four games. I didn't really realize that until just now. And that's another thing. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. Wow. I mean, that's not good.
Well, there's
good.
No even strength goals yet. I mean, know. It seems like there's
Well,
none.
I guess he's on the ice for that shorty tonight. Yeah. Probably was on the ice for the shorty the other night. Not good. Dude, anytime you can get a superstar to stay with your team, and I think the issue was always going to be if Joe Thornton was going to be allowed to walk away, who was going to replace him? Who's right. going to replace him?
Right.
There's no one available.
It's like, oh, I'm just going to go find a first-line center real easy.
Yeah, let me find an Olympian all-star former MVP of the league just laying around.
Right.
Hello? Yeah, I don't think Alexei Yashin's taking any calls, and he doesn't fit any of the bill there, dude.
Yeah.
I think I was advocating for them to let this play out a little bit longer,
mm-hmm.
but that was before Thornton was made the captain of this team.
Right.
And I think that they've made a commitment here that this is the Joe Thornton era. This is his team. And, you know, if he thought Marlowe felt some pressure,
yeah,
he's going to feel a ton of pressure soon. And he's pretty darn lucky that the Giants are going to be distracting people for the next couple of weeks, hopefully, because if the Sharks really struggle here and continue to struggle, no one's really going to notice. No one's going to be writing about it. No one's going to be paying any attention in the Bay Area because hopefully the Giants will be in the World Series.
Right. And so now, as you said, Thornton's the one. He's the straw that stirs the drink, and it's on his shoulders. I'm with you. They said, okay, we're going to give you the captaincy. That means, I've said before when we've had many captaincy discussions on this show that I believe in continuity. I think you make a change only when you have to. They handed him the captaincy. It makes sense. They want him to be around multiple years. Just giving him the captaincy this year, waving goodbye to him, and then giving it to Boyle next year, it seems goofy. You want a guy to have it a long time, like Eric Staal we saw tonight in Carolina. So it makes sense. And for no one believes that he would get $7 million on the open market. He would get eight, maybe more. I mean, depending, if he wants a three-year deal, and it seems like that's what he goes for, you know, he's not going to be up for the 17-year Kovalchuk, epic deal. He's going to get 3 years, $24 million, $25 million.
Easily. Someone would have given it to him easily. But the thing is he probably would have had to move to New York.
Right.
Or he would have had to go to Edmonton.
Right.
Or maybe a location that would be undesirable. The question really that I have for you, dude, is with these guys now locked up, is that hunger still there for this team? Are we seeing the result right now? They're just maybe a little bit too comfortable with themselves.
Could be. Could be. I mean, Joe Thornton's got nothing left to win except a cup, right? And he knows that's going to be hanging over his head for the rest of his career. And frankly, probably for the good part of his life if he never wins a cup. If he's given the, been given the keys to the franchise at this point. You're getting paid the most. You got the captaincy. We want you here long term. He said as much. You know, this is where I want to be. This is my best chance to win a cup. If he doesn't do it, it's on him more than anybody else on the team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've seen Boyle win a cup before. Marlowe's no longer got the captaincy, so the spotlight's off him a little bit. Nabokov's gone. Thornton's the focal point. So I hope you're wrong in that the pressure's off, because he's still got, I mean, he's got to think about the legacy question now for his
right.
career.
Right.
I mean, we can, you know, talk all day about whether he's a Hall of Famer. If he continues at this clip, probably. But the fact is he going to be Don Mattingly or is he going to be another baseball guy that wins the World Series that I can't think of? Jim Rice? I don't know.
Dude.
I don't know, dude.
Dude, this is something else we talked about tonight. I don't care if the Sharks win the Pacific Division.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Actually, I think what's going on right now, what we're seeing, and what I think on this road trip, they're going to Colorado, they're going to Calgary, they're going to Edmonton. I think they might get a point. And I'm being serious, dude.
Glass
I'm not just being
empty.
A pill.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're going to get killed in Colorado. I think they'll lose to an Edmonton team that they couldn't beat last year or had a hard time beating last year
mm-hmm.
that's better. And they're going to be playing with sort of that same youthful, I don't care. And Calgary isn't always a tough place to go play. So I don't think it's going to get any better anytime, like, in the next week.
Yeah.
If they're having a hard time scoring even strength. So if they struggle now and they can kind of find a way to come together in the middle of the season or near the end and get hot, then, you know, that's what we want to see.
Right, right.
And them jumping out like Dallas is now, it means nothing.
No.
You know, these games in October,
does anybody really think Toronto's going to win the division?
No one's going to remember that Toronto was leading their division in October
right.
when they're picking in the lottery in the summer. No, right. no one's going to know.
Right.
So while I may be a little bit bitter, I think a little adversity for this team early isn't so bad, dude.
Yeah, it's not bad. Dude, it's time for some cheering up here.
Okay.
Oh, wait. That's not it.
Crazy trade. Dude, live breaking news here.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
In the Dudes on Hockey newsroom.
Okay.
We got an email while we're here recording.
Nice.
From Marcus.
Live
so, Marcus,
updates.
Your timing is impeccable. This is what it says, dude. I'm going to read it to you right here, live on the air.
Okay.
Hey, dudes. During the Sharks' loss to Carolina, I was reading some comments on Twitter from Jibble Scribbits.
I know
a writer of a Colorado Avalanche blog.
I'm sad that I know who that is, but yes.
He made a comment how the Avs were supposedly looking to trade a D-man and later stated that he felt Kyle Kaminsky could help the Sharks if he was acquired. My first question is, do you think Kaminsky or any other Avalanche D could be an upgrade for the Sharks? My second and final question is, due to the Covey deal, the Devils are certainly going to have to shed some salary. So are there any defensemen on New Jersey would be an improvement on the back end? Dude, this is putting you on the spot.
Kyle Kaminsky, I'm intrigued by Kyle Kaminsky. The thing is, if we're still looking for the impact number two defenseman, that's not Kyle Kaminsky, okay? I mean, Kyle Kaminsky is a guy that is young and has a lot of promise, and I would certainly love to have on the Sharks, but if we're filtering this through the idea that, okay, with Sharks need a number two, Kyle Kaminsky's not that guy. We should get Scott Hannon back. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'm trying to think of, you know, I mean, who, you know, Adam Foote.
Well, Foote is the captain.
John
of
Michael
team.
Lyles.
Lyles is playing out of his mind right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he sort of has taken Kaminsky's spot
mm-hmm.
On that team. You know, I think Kaminsky's still playing, but you know, Lyles has kind of taken over a little bit there. You've got Quincy, who I'm not even sure. Yeah, he's been playing.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got Quincy there. Okay. Well, first of all, Marcus, I think there is a slim to no percent chance that the Avalanche are going to trade anything to the San Jose Sharks.
True.
They don't want to give the Sharks any sort of advantage. They want us to crash and burn and go off a cliff like Junior Seau. All right?
Exactly.
That's what they want. I don't think they're going to be in the business of helping us. And if they wanted to give us Kyle Comiskey, they would want something back like Jamie McGinn.
You know, yeah, they would want
a young forward for a young defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Comiskey just a little bit like Jason Demers? Maybe a little bit more advanced?
Yeah, maybe. That's not a bad comparison.
I'm not sure that's the guy that we need. Like, looking more and more at the team, and I know our friend, EJ Erratic,
yeah,
who's right about everything,
yeah, unfortunately,
says that you know, the Sharks need another puck mover. I mean, I don't know. The fact that we've got Douglas Murray on the power play, maybe that is what we need.
Yeah.
Or do we really need another guy who's going to replace Vlasic? Because Vlasic is, you know, playing third pairing hockey right now.
Mm-hmm.
Should we be looking for a puck mover, or should we be looking for a stay-at-home guy, dude?
Puck mover?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So...
So maybe Comiskey does kind of fit that bill.
Maybe does kind of fit if we want to try and promote him from what he's been doing.
Well, an interesting name and really off the map a little bit to toss out there, Marcus, but I don't think we're going to see two Western Conference rivals do much dealing with each other early on here. What about the Devils, dude?
Yeah, I'm looking at their roster right now. I don't really see anything that jumps out at me. I like Anton Volchenkov, obviously. I mean, yeah, who doesn't? But
that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen, and that's an expensive contract, and the Sharks can't take that. What about Colin White? It's sort of more of the same. I mean, it's a stay-at-home, good defenseman that's not really going to give you a lot of points. They don't really have a mover. Andy Green? You know, I mean...
They need Andy Green.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's really their only puck mover. I think the guy they're going to try and dump is Bryce Salvador. Right. I asked you about Salvador earlier
mm-hmm.
in the year. You didn't seem to be that excited about Bryce Salvador. I like Colin White. I like him as a defenseman. Is he going to be that number two guy?
No.
You know, he doesn't add anything on the power play. You know, watching him play the power play would probably be equivalent of watching Murray out there. Although, you know, maybe I'd be a little hard on Colin White, but you know, he only has one career power play goal.
Wow.
So maybe I'm not being that hard on
No,
him.
I guess not.
So while New Jersey seems like a good fit here, Marcus, the problem is the Sharks don't have any cap room to really be New Jersey's dumping ground.
Right, exactly. So. And that's what New Jersey needs more than anything, is to dump salary.
Right.
Okay, let's go to Nikki, who's give us another email.
Nikki.
Nikki is sympathizing with our situation. She was in section 203 for the home opener, and sitting behind me was not just a drunk guy, but a drunk stemmer.
Oh.
Nikki, we feel your pain. Screaming out loud at the Reds how they're blind, getting all the calls wrong for the entire game. But on the bright side, she did get picked to do the tug of war competition during the second intermission. So, of course, my question to Nikki is, I remember that tug of war competition, and one team got freaking ruled. I almost said a non-family word on the. I didn't say it, did I?
We're going to have to beep that out.
Are we going to beep it?
Yeah, okay. I think that, anyway, that's going to get beeped out.
I mean, this is the first time I almost slipped up, because this tug of war was so one-sided. It brings me out of my seat. One team got schooled.
Wow.
So, Nikki, I hope you were on the winning side, because the other side was, frankly, rather embarrassed.
We want you to fess up, Nikki.
Yeah.
Will you please write in and tell us the truth?
Please.
And we love to hear from the ladies.
We certainly do.
Dudes on hockey, we do not discriminate.
No, not at all.
Dudes, dudettes. Should we have a special segment, dudettes on hockey? Or is that just getting weird?
It's a little weird. A little weird. All right, dude, okay. Another segment, more levity coming.
You know what time it is. It's G2 Watch 2010.
seriously.
So, Chichu. We talked about Chichu last week. Great start to the season. 5 points in the first two games. So, I'm happy to report that he's done nothing since then. So, unfortunately, like the Sharks, he's taken a major dive. The Worcester Sharks have lost both games since then. The first game, they were shut out 4-0. Our boy Alex Stalock was pulled after giving 3 goals. That was the second game. Excuse me. But Chichu was -1 in that game. The second game, they lost 7-2. Alex Stalock gave up 3 goals and 5 shots and was pulled. Carter Hutton made 51 saves.
Wow.
And still gave up 4 more goals. And Chichu was -3 with no points. So in the past week, -4, no points. Back to the old Chichu. I can't say that. But I can say that our boy Nick Petrenko was -5 in that game. So
awesome.
Could have been worse.
Well, I guess the Sharks are getting it all out of their system at once.
I hope so.
Everybody be bad at once. Do you think it was National Sharks Stink It Up Day?
It could have been.
It could have been. Dude.
It's not been a good week for the Sharks franchise.
But it has been a good week for the Giants.
Good, dude. Yeah. I'm happy for the Giants.
Thank you. All right. I know some people got irritated last time we talked about baseball, so I'm going to keep talking about it.
Yeah, too bad.
Dude, Giants, if you're a second baseman playing against the Giants, you automatically, it's like kryptonite. I was like, Chase Utley today. Oops. Oh.
Cursed.
Oh, I couldn't make 2 plays.
Yeah.
It's too bad. So by this time next week when we talk, the Giants, it'll be over. Either they're in the World Series or I'll be sitting here crying in my beer.
Yeah.
So let's hope we've got some good news, and let's hope that I'm wrong about the Sharks.
Yes.
And that we will have finished this 3-day road trip and that we'll see a little bit of a turnaround. One last thing before we go, dude. What do you make of Mike Moore making his NHL debut tonight?
Played the least number of minutes of anybody on the Sharks, 7 minutes. Wasn't embarrassing. Wasn't amazing. Used to Mike Moore trying to dish out big hits. It looked like a couple times tonight he was going for it, but NHL forwards are kind of crafty. They slipped him a little bit, so he never got the chance to lay the lumber on someone. So Mike Moore, jury's still out. Wasn't embarrassing. Wasn't great. He was the 7th defenseman, so he didn't get a lot of chance to play. If he had a regular shift, might have a little bit more of something to say about him.
So Fraser McLaren was scratched tonight. He didn't play. I think that's because Carolina doesn't really have that tough guy presence,
right,
you know, on their roster. So to skate McLaren, who's a better, you know, hockey player than most enforcers, they felt maybe tonight was probably the best chance to get Morzy, as they call him on Shark Bite, Morzy, sometime.
Another inventive nickname.
some time on the ice. So, I'm frustrated, dude. I'm sure you are. I'm sure a lot of Sharks fans are frustrated. But like we said before, these games are learning experience.
Right. And the train rolls on. We'll be back again next week. Same time, same place. Don't go away. Keep watching the Sharks. Keep listening to the podcast. Things will turn soon enough.
Dude, I want to say that I think the Dallas Stars are for real. And I also believe in mermaids and pixie dust.
Good, dude. I'm happy for you.
See you next week, dude.
Later.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.